everybody. Welcome back to The Tipsy Ghost. We're your tipsy hosts, Sarah, Sarah, and Lindsay.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
We have a Blast from the Past episode.
Ooh, a very special episode.
It is special.
Special to us.
It is our most listened to episode so far.
The episode's special to us because it was not actually our first location
our
to
second.
Investigate, but our second, but our first uploaded investigation.
We were babies.
Yes.
Baby investigators.
No.
We had the audacity to call ourselves amateurs at the time.
We were not amateurs.
No, obviously.
We have grown a lot since then. And I think that's why it's really important to kind of intro this a little differently to make sure that you know, like, we have not regressed. What you're going to hear is just one of our first investigations together. So we've come a long way.
Yeah, a classic. Yeah, Boydston spent a lot of time re-editing some of the sound and improved a lot of the quality there. So thank you for that.
Yes.
Appreciate it.
She has learned many a thing.
It was totally easy.
Yeah.
Not hard at all.
I'm sure. Lindsay and I are the easiest people to edit.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You sound great always.
Yes.
We haven't even said where this investigation was.
I mean, it's in the title, but it's the Beatty Mansion.
In St. Joe, Missouri.
So here you go. Enjoy our newly edited, improved Beatty Beatty Mansion episode.
Enjoy.
Well, are we ready to dive in?
What are we talking about today?
Let's do it.
We're talking about the Beatty Mansion.
And how do they actually pronounce it?
It's the Beatty Mansion.
But that's ridiculous.
I don't like that, so I'm calling it the Beatty Mansion.
Like,
sorry.
Okay. Beatty little eyeballs.
You know, that's fair. It looks like Beatty Mansion, but
otherwise, we're going to have to edit this every single time because we're going to call it Beatty every time.
Yeah.
And that's too much.
I've tried really hard, so you might hear it both ways. I think real talk is supposed to be Beatty, but we're going to call it Beatty Beatty, so just deal with it.
We're dealing with it. So it's in St. Joseph, Missouri, but as we all know, it's St. Joe Mo. So It is a hop, skip, and a jump away. And it is also called the House on the Hill. Why is it called the House on the Hill, my friends?
It's on a hill that you have to walk up about 50,000 million steps.
In reality, it's probably like 50 steps, but it felt like 50,000.
But every time you have to go to the bathroom, you have to go down all 50 steps.
Yeah.
To the car. You have to cross a semi-main street. I hope you don't get hit by anybody. And it's also people are walking at all hours of the night.
Yeah.
And then you have to drive a 3-minute drive to the gas station.
Yeah.
It just takes from the experience. So
it does.
If you go to the Beatty Beatty Mansion.
Beatty Beatty. Now you just sound like you're like stuttering through that.
The Beatty Mansion. Please.
Beatty and the Jets.
Prepare yourself.
Yes.
Oh my God. Yes. How did we not think of that until just now? The whole time
that's
we were
amazing.
There.
We had to talk about it for months.
As a whole, recommend that you go in the spring, yes, summer, or fall because that's when they turn on the running water.
Yes. Also, there's no heat in the house, so let's just throw that out there. That's going to come into play, I think, a little bit into our investigation piece. But it was February when we went, so like brand new into February.
It was a Saturday before the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it was freezing. That's what I'm trying to get at. It was freezing.
Yes.
It was so cold. There was no heat in this place, and I don't know how. I don't know how is actually colder inside the house
than outside.
We would actually go outside to take a breath. But let's stop right there before we get too far gone into the investigative piece, because we really want to dive a little bit into the history piece of the mansion.
Yeah, let's talk
so
about
that. You all know what it is we got ourselves into.
Yes. So it is kind of like what Sarah said. It is very old. It's built in 1854. Still standing. It's actually really beautiful. I feel like it's in pretty good condition for how old it is. It was built by Armstrong and Eliza Betty as their first home. So Armstrong was the city's first banker, and he became mayor in 1857, and he was elected 4 times. So he's the only person to be the mayor of St. Joe 5 times, which I was curious how long he could be mayor for. Nowadays, it's 5 years a term, so that would have been 20 years.
I have a question.
What is your question?
And it could be dumb. If you're elected 4 times, how are you mayor 5 times?
No, he was elected 5 times. Did I say 4 times?
Yes, sorry. Okay.
Then
missed that one. Good catch.
Yes, because he was elected in 1857, 58, 60, 66, and 76.
Oh, okay.
Cleared so it up. Wasn't even always consecutive. Back then, they didn't really have terms kind of like how they do now. But pretty much from 1857 and then 1876. And he died in 1878, so he was mayor like right up until he died.
Wow. He was kind of a big deal is what we're
he
getting
He was
at.
A big deal.
The people liked
He was very prominent.
The people liked him. Yeah.
Definitely got the popular vote.
Yeah.
Yes. So originally when he built the house for him and his wife, it was just the East Wing. Now there's a West Wing on it, obviously, because if you have an East, it kind of implies there's a West. Mm-hmm. But it was just the East Wing at first. And he died, like I said, in 1878 after a sudden bout of cholera.
Nailed it.
Yes.
Atta girl.
Guys, I really struggled with pronouncing that. And I could see them both watching me as I was getting ready to say
it.
You
can do it. My breath.
You can do it, Lindsay. We believe in you.
We had to practice.
Sometimes I say words weird, okay? It happens.
Gloria is not a thing.
You didn't have to tell them what I was mispronouncing.
Oh, shucks.
Obviously, cholera was a really big deal back in the 1800s. Because of the water, not good stuff. But his was a sudden bout, which is very suspicious, right? Because it takes a long time to die from cholera.
That's what they said in the tour piece of it, because they say that typically you kind of have a lengthy, terrible, drawn-out, painful death with cholera. Luckily, that's something that we don't have to deal with too much here in the modern world, so I can't say I have too much experience with it.
You've never had the cholera?
I've never had the cholera, personally. Thank you, Jesus. That is no fun. I can only imagine. But I will say they found it suspicious because his was really aggressive and very fast. So he was diagnosed and then like 3 or 4 days later had passed away.
Right. Which is very unheard of. And so at that time, him and Eliza had no heirs. They didn't have kids. So when he died, his will left all of the furniture in the house to her and only half of the estate went to her, which was also suspicious. Because, like I said, he had no other heirs. Like, who else was it going to? And I actually looked up his will online. I found it, which was really weird. And it doesn't say who the other half of his estate went to. And I looked and I looked, and everything else, it had, like, all these other random family members. But they were getting the estate if she died before him. Like, it was that clause. So
I wonder who it went to, though.
Maybe just nobody. Mystery. Maybe he's just really angry and grouchy and said, you only get half. Don't
maybe
care.
It just went to the city because he liked it that much.
Well, that could be it, too, because when he died, there's East and West built, correct?
No, it was just the East side.
Oh, okay. So
only half of that East side was hers. So I don't know what his thinking was because, what, are you going to have somebody else come in and move in with your wife or sell their share? I don't know.
Who knows?
So people were kind of suspicious of that, but then she died just 2 years later in 1880. So it was like, it's all just very weird. So since they had no heirs in 1880, the home was sold to the Ladies Union Benevolent Association. And I'm not calling it by its acronym because that's L-U-B-A, and that sounds like
Luba.
That sounds like Luba. Thank you, Sarah.
It's a Luba Chris.
They did not think about that acronym and how that would age.
What's one of his songs?
How do you not know one of Ludacris's songs?
I know songs. I just don't. I don't reference them.
Oh, okay, so sorry.
I mean, I feel like in every song of his, he says Luba. Kind of like how Jason Derulo always sings his name. He goes, Jason Derulo. Are you Googling Ludacris songs?
Roll out.
There was.
He's also in that Usher song that was hugely popular. Why can I not think of it? Dun 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 dun.
Yeah,
dun,
yeah.
Dun.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Of course, something super easy and simple.
It's called Yeah. It's called three times.
You guys should start a band.
Thank you. Next,
a ludicrous next cover adventure. Band.
Cover band. We're gonna call it Luba.
Luba Chris.
Luba Chris. So the Ladies Union Benevolent Association.
All right, I digress. Go ahead.
They provided shelter for homeless and distressed population. And that's in quotes because what is distressed? I don't even know. Like, is that what they called people with mental illnesses back there? Is that what they called people who were down and out on their luck? I don't know. So they also called it the home for the friendless.
Okay.
Which just makes me very sad. implying that these people don't have friends. Like, hey, you don't have friends? Come to our home.
Yeah.
We'll be your friend.
Yes. Everybody needs a friend.
Yes, but in today's day and age, in 2020, if someone came up to you and was like, come to my house and I'll be your friend.
True that.
Where's your mind going?
Creepster.
John Wayne Gacy.
We know too much. We've seen too much. Women would drop off their infants, and they also use it as a kind of orphanage. And obviously, these women are not going to turn away, you know, a baby. So it kind of became an orphanage of sorts. So it kind of had everything. So that's in about 1880s when that happened. About 15 years later, in 1895, the home was converted to the Memorial Home for the Aged, and that's when they built the West Wing.
Gotcha.
So they added on to it then, and it stayed like that for 100 years. So 1995, which does not seem that long ago.
It's really not.
It's really not. I put LUBA in my notes, but the Ladies Union Benevolent Association.
LUBA.
LUBA. So they moved the population to another location, and the building was used as a group home for individuals with mental illness and substance abuse, a.k.a. my kind of people. It sat like that for about, trying to do the math here, guys, I'm not doing real good, 9 years. Because in 2004 is when they finally sold it to private owners. And they originally wanted to turn it into a lovely bed and breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Which, not a bad idea. I mean, this place is huge. It'd be a cute B&B. Yeah.
Probably, what, like 60 rooms total?
Yeah, it's got a lot.
It's huge.
Yeah.
The east side, just so you know, the east and the west pretty much are identical in right. size. It's like they just copied and pasted.
Like mirrored it. Yeah.
And then connected it with a hall. It looks like an H almost if you look at the footprint of it.
So 2004, they are trying to turn it into a bed and breakfast and have to do all these renovations because this house is massively old. While renovating, contractors started experiencing some paranormal activity. They were hearing disembodied voices. They were seeing full body apparitions and shadowy figures in the halls and the rooms, kind of all over. Many of these contractors refused to return because they were so spooked out by all of this. So right now, they are still sold to private owners, and they just kind of let groups come through, and they do tours and do paranormal investigations, and it's just kind of sits there without running water or heat in the winter, might I add.
Fact.
So these are some of the most prominent ghosts that have been noted over the past decade or so. Past 2 decades. Gosh, 2004. Ugh. I was like, it's been more than 10 years. It's been a few years. Gosh. Eliza, the wife. So she is most prominently seen roaming the second floor of the building. She does not like males. There's also a child spirit on the second floor in one of the rooms there that has been heard yelling and laughing and running around. Armstrong is seen on the east wing because, remember, the west wing was not built yet. And he's whistling, which that's one thing that I think is on my ghost hunting bucket list. I want to hear somebody whistling.
I wonder what he whistles.
Right?
Like a fun little tune? Or
maybe it's just like a something.
Dun, dun, dun.
It's probably just one note.
That kind of sounded like the intro to like Law and Order that you just did.
He dun, dun. Did.
he was a big fan.
In 1880s. In the kitchen, there are child-sized ghosts that they're seeing, and there's also some adult-sized apparitions because, sure, everyone likes food, you know?
It's a gathering place for all.
It is a gathering place. And there's also a couple spirits out, like just outside of the kitchen. There's a huge hallway and some rooms there, and there's some spirits that are seen there at the end of that hallway, too. And then in the basement, there's a male entity who does not like people in general, male or female, and that is George. And he likes a red bucket that he is very particular about, and they kept telling us, don't take the red bucket when you leave because somebody did that on, like, a tour, and George basically gave the owners hell until they got another red bucket. They said it was really bad. So that's kind of the most prominent spirits that are seen wandering around, both from people who've investigated and the contractors. So yeah, that's kind of a brief history of it.
That's a doozy of a history there.
It is. Lots of real sad people there. You know, of course, there were some deaths there over the years. I mean, it's been open for, what, 100 and plus years?
Yeah. I think what was also interesting about this place is that it kind of just abruptly, it seemed like up and closed. Like there was still shoes in the hallway. There are paintings randomly around the walls. Now, we did kind of allude to the fact that somebody lives there intermittently.
Yeah.
But I do think some of those things were left there and now they are kind of staged, if you will, for people like us who do this amateur paranormal investigation. we're gonna underline the word.
Let's highlight that before we get any reviews saying you guys don't know what you're doing.
And you're right, we don't.
We know.
We just have a real good time doing it. But kind of to segue into that piece of it, you know, we had been on a couple of investigations, I think, before. So this wasn't our first go round, although it's coming to you all as our second episode here. Mm-hmm. So we kind of knew what to expect is what I'm getting at as far as like the layout of the night and how things were going to go. Mm-hmm. The thing you never know how it's going to go is, are you going to catch any evidence, the people you're going to be around, the feel of the the place, how things are going to happen. But as we talked about earlier, we did have to walk up what seemed like about 8,000 steps, maybe 9,000. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I lost track after the first 1,000.
It felt horrible. This house on the hill, it it definitely served up to its name there.
Definitely.
So yeah, we walk up, and as you walk into this grand entrance, basically, there's a parlor on the right, there's a parlor on the left. Excuse me if those are not the technical terms, but that's what they look like to me.
I like it. I like it. Sounds old-fashioned.
Thank you. Right. Yeah. Parlor. They don't have living rooms.
No, because they don't have TVs, and that's what I designate as a living room. Parlor.
Is like a settee a thing?
I have no... What does that even mean?
It's like... Because when you buy like a sectional couch, the long part of it where you can like lay out, that's the settee. Oh,
mm-hmm. Okay. You learn something maybe every day.
The sitting room and the parlor.
Okay. I could get down with that.
There was a piano in there.
There was. So that's so like the parlor. The small room is the sitting room on the right. That's where they had snacks. It was a gathering room with a bunch of space heaters. And
space
heaters. It was awesome.
Yes. It was the warmest room in the house, y'all.
Yeah. That part was awesome. Yeah. The sitting room was on the right.
I love it.
There was a grand staircase that took you up to the second floor mm-hmm. as you walked in. And then there was what we are referring to as the parlor room on the left. And that's kind of also a gathering space for us at the time. The group that was hosting the event, that's who was there. And there was a lot of different people there. That's what's great about, I think, these events is that anyone can sign up. Yeah, I'll go.
They love amateurs coming.
It is so fun.
Yeah.
And I think everybody thinks it's going to be some big spooky event that everybody's like a haunted house. Kind of. I think that's what the most people get the idea of what it's going to be. But it's really not
that. There's
no
like jump scares
or
thrills. No.
No, not at all. And there, I think, was a big group of probably high school kids in this one with their parents. And they were in a huge group. Anyways, just goes to show it ranges in all different types of people who go to enjoy this stuff. So the parlor room, though, it did have probably the creepiest, I'm going to go with cow head, mounted on the wall.
We did not know what kind of animal this was.
It took us a good maybe 20 minutes to figure out. We were debating
guesses. What it was. Yeah. I think I said a moose without antlers, which I don't know if that's even a thing.
And then, is that a cow? I don't know. Oh, you know what? I think we could post a picture because now we have a Facebook page. Okay, so we're going to post a picture on the Facebook page, a little plug, and see if people can please insert your expertise.
People. And you guys are making fun of me for cholera.
Okay, here we go. If people can insert their expertise on moose without antlers.
Cow.
Versus cow.
Why would you
put
a cow
deer.
Head up?
It could have been a deer for all I know. I mean,
thing but was that's worn. The thing. People put deer heads up. I get that. That's, I don't know, some decorative thing that I will never understand because I
don't
do
that.
Maybe it
was his first cow.
But why do you shoot a cow? Is cow hunting a thing
for
as well?
Dinner.
True. Well, they only ate the back half.
But like, cow hunting is not a thing. I feel like that's an illegal thing.
You're right. There's not a lot of sport, I'm guessing, in cow hunting. Don't they basically just stand there?
And for those
it's
of you
beginner.
For those of you who don't know the Kansas City area, moose are not a thing here.
That's why we're so confused. We're like, what is this? What is this thing? Doesn't matter. This thing looked weird mounted on the wall, and it also had a top hat. Somebody decorated it.
It was all very weird, y'all. And so that set the tone when we walked in. We're like, there's an animal that we don't know what that is.
Don't forget the creepy dolls.
Yes. Like, that is what gave us the intro to the creepy dolls. I will say there was a few. There was just a few. Also on the table as you walked in, they had like some pictures of the history and yada yada. But then they had some creepy dolls.
Very like old school creepy dolls, y'all, with their eyes that just stare into your soul feel a little unsettled.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure they
never take that doll home.
All the lights are off in the whole place except for like the sitting room where they have the snacks and all that stuff and the parlor room.
Right.
Because that's where we were all meeting. But everywhere else the lights are off. So you'd be walking down a hallway and you'd have your flashlight and you'd see a table. And oh, there's a creepy doll staring at you. Like, that was enough to make my heart jump.
We're just in a random windowsill.
Yes.
Just hanging out.
You walk in, you're like, oh, this is a creepy room. Oh, there's a doll staring at me. Oh, my gosh.
Yes. There's a doll. Well, the first place, they broke us up into groups. We were the group that first started on the main level.
Yes.
We started off in the kitchen.
I love that kitchen.
Yeah. Tell me why you loved that kitchen. Why'd you love that kitchen?
But you also had to pee really bad.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. So we started off kind of with a bang, right? Because as we mentioned, there's 8,000 steps at least. And boys didn't have to pee stat. It was just the thing. And so the whole time she is literally like dancing.
Once we hit the kitchen, I was like, oh, I don't got this.
They were like, we'll break in like an hour to an hour and a half. And
kitchen was just the like, first room. Nope.
I was trying to be brave. I was like, okay, I can do it. So I was trying to just keep my body moving, make it work. But this is where I got introduced to dowsing rods.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think they're your new favorite. They are your thing.
And explain what dowsing rods are for people who are even more of amateurs than us.
Here, you tell us your take. I will tell the official, okay? So that
you
don't
look up the official. What I remember them as. They are curved rods. I believe they're copper. Please correct me.
I think you're right.
But I'll get there in a moment. I think they are.
And you just hold them in your fingertips and as still as possible so that you're not moving at all. You just want the energy around you to move them. And they respond to yes, no, maybe questions. And we were testing those out to see what kind of responses we would get in the rooms. We were also using them to say, hey, point at this person. What did you find?
Yeah, dowsing is a type of divination employed in attempts to locate groundwater, buried metals or ores, gemstones, oils, grave sites, and many other objects and materials without the use of scientific apparatus. Dowsing is considered a pseudoscience. There's no scientific evidence that any more effective than random chance.
Me.
Mm-hmm. Dowsers often achieve good results because random chance has a high probability of finding water in favorable terrain. Okay, which I would agree with in outdoor settings.
Correct.
Yeah, but we were not outdoors.
Also, remember, this place had no running water.
Exactly. Good point. They use it a lot in the paranormal field.
Mm-hmm.
Like Boydston mentioned, to ask questions. And it's doing simple things like crossing the rods one way or the other or turning them this way or that way.
Mm-hmm, right.
And so there's nothing like, I wouldn't say hugely groundbreaking from it, but it is interesting for sure.
Right. Yeah. The reason why I really took to them and kind of immediately believed in them is we were all getting similar responses.
Right.
You know, if we were to ask a question, before we asked a question, we set them. So they were just out straight. They were just hanging out. They weren't crossed. They weren't open. They were just neutral. And then once we would ask a question, there were multiple rods throughout the kitchen and dining area, that would have the same response. They would either cross at the same time. They would turn out at the same time. And I just felt like that was hard to argue with that evidence at that time.
Right. Mm-hmm. This isn't the only time we've used them either. We've used them in other locations.
Right.
Right.
Specifically Sally House, which we have another episode on, but we used them there. I used them and had a really good encounter with them there. Mm-hmm. So I understand. I believe. I think we can actually buy some of these on Amazon. So guess what?
They're fairly cheap.
We're going to buy some.
We're going to get some dowsing rods.
Just because she loves them so much, guys. And we just want to make her happy.
We're going to do some dowsing rods at Boyston's home when we investigate.
I took some videos. Yeah, I took some videos while we were there. I think in every single video, you are holding the dowsing rods and you're just like, you were using
it. I look like a little kid.
For those who can't see us, we're holding our hands directly in front of it.
And she's like, parallel, using them to point at us. Like at one point we got off track and she's like, you, pay attention. No. Lindsay, stop. And like aiming her dowsing rods at me. I'm like, don't you use those against me?
Back up. What do you mean we got off track?
Okay.
That didn't happen.
Well, good.
We never do that.
Never.
So back to the kitchen dining area.
Because we got off track.
Shocks.
It right outside that is the hallway. Another hallway towards a door, which is, I believe, bricked off. Maybe it's just at kind of an end.
Yeah.
And at the end of this hallway is an entity. Supposedly that is kind of maybe malevolent.
Mm-hmm.
If you charge at it, it is said that it has done some kind of harsh things to people. What do you guys remember about
like physical
scratches,
harm?
Yeah. Scratches was the main
thing
I remember.
Pushing, physical harm.
Somebody
like
felt
running.
Choked.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Somebody felt choked at one point.
This one did not have a name. This was not George though. This was
no. This is not
different.
George. George hangs out in the basement, and so these are the kind of stories that like where I start to get nervous. Like all the friendly child ghosts, the whistling, like love it.
Yes.
The scary guys, not so much.
Where people are feeling choked and scratched. I'm like, I don't want that.
You know, though, we try to kind of like purposely put ourselves out there, not like ask them like, hey, charge at me.
We never provoke.
Thank you. That's what I was looking for.
We never provoke. We just want to open ourselves to have an experience in a positive manner.
We've always been told to treat others the way we want to be treated. And I would not want to be provoked, right?
Right.
Well, so we did.
Come talk to us.
We tried to put ourselves out there in the hallway. Yeah. We didn't really get a whole lot.
So while we were
in, which is okay.
There was a little, there were two ways you can get into that kitchen dining area. Mm-hmm. One was right into the kitchen and one was right from the dining area. And the dining area is the one closest to that end of the hallway.
Right.
And we, the three of us, stationed ourselves with our rods, our exciting
rods.
Our
dowsing rods.
Yes, which I got nothing on, but Boydston got some.
They liked her.
They got some hits.
Remember, I have to pee so bad at this time. So I'm shifting my weight when I'm not using my rods because you have to be super still. So when I'm taking a break, I'm shifting my weight and I'm moving around and I keep moving closer and closer to this doorway. And Sarah and Lindsay are moving with me. Sarah and I feel like keep responding to sounds we hear in the hallway. Did you ever hear anything, Lindsay?
I didn't. But I mean, kind of like what we talked about last episode, I don't hear things as well as you guys. Like, you guys sense things a lot better than I do.
Right.
I feel like.
I feel like we heard a male voice in that hallway. I couldn't make out what it said. We weren't recording during the time.
Yeah.
But I remember distinctly a male voice at one point, and I remember the sound of something, whether it be a door or whether it be something being thrown, but the sound of an object.
Mm-hmm. Like a click is kind of what I recall, like a click or a dropping or something like that in the hallway.
And I'll interject here that there's three levels, the basement, the main level, and the second level, and each group is on one level. So hearing a male voice, the other two groups are either in the basement or up above you. And you really couldn't hear
because this place is massive. And everybody's trying their hardest to hold still and be quiet the whole time so that we don't, you know, mess up any of the potential evidence.
Right.
So the odds of it being like somebody else in another group, I mean, we didn't hear the other groups at all.
No, not at all.
The entire time we were there.
We really didn't. It was surprising for being built in the 1800s. Was it 1800s?
1865.
Mm-hmm. It was surprisingly soundproof-ish. For having 1854, all those.
Dang it.
Nailed it. We're not going to edit that out because that was amazing.
It was built in 1854, guys. Commitment. Just kidding. Sorry. Math, numbers, y'all.
Numbers are hard.
But beyond the small amount of evidence that we got in the kitchen and the hallway a little bit, we didn't really get much when we went out into the hallway, but we were kind of close, maybe got a few things here. That was cool. So then when we were in there,
they had some, we were doing EVP sessions.
Right.
Yep.
And what were, do you guys remember the EVPs that they got?
I can't remember specifically. The thing about EVPs is that they're so hard to make out if you cannot magnify the sound of them. So what they're doing is truly just recording, talking amongst people, questioning, and then they'll wait in between and then they'll replay it in real time and see if they can hear some voices or muffled voices. And you can hear things occasionally when you know full well that people are not talking in between those things.
But I think the thing, too, is that people pick up different things. Like, you kind of pick up what you want to hear. And so when there's, like, 15 of us in a group, somebody's saying, oh, I hear this. And then, like, it's kind of like collective mind thinking. You know? Everybody's like, oh, yeah, I heard that too. And I'm like, did you?
The fun part about the kitchen experience was what Sarah likes to call the hardcores.
That is true.
Oh my gosh, you guys, these are my favorite part too.
You guys, they're in every group. We're just going to lay that out there.
The ones who are amateurs but like to think they're not.
Some might call us the hardcores who look at us from the outside. But
I feel like we're laid back whenever we go.
That's right. But there are some hardcores. You just cannot avoid them. They're
really
everywhere.
Into it.
They're really into it. And, you know, I'm happy for them because
that's a nice way to put
it. Like, I get their drive and the passion there. I just can't bring it to that level of intensity. That's what we'll say. So we'll group them in the hardcores, and they are, like I said, in every investigative group that you go on.
Every single one.
These are the people that when you're lined up at Walmart on Black Friday, they will shove your toddler down for that TV.
But yes, they at first, I'm kind of like, okay, can you not? Can you stop?
Right.
But then the more we're there, I'm like, you're kind of funny. And I always I find it like, I know. I feel like you get more annoyed. And I'm just like,
so annoyed.
I'm just like, this is fun.
let me demonstrate the hardcores, okay?
So, yes, demonstrate.
So
please.
Here we go. Here is the group leader. he says, okay, we're going to go around in a circle, and we're all going to ask a question and pause in between for our EVP session.
Right.
That's what we call this.
And everybody had dowsing rods too.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So that's important because Boyson loves those damn dowsing rods. Here we are.
I got them.
She found her. Point straight forward.
She found her calling, you guys.
She's ready. Meanwhile, the hardcores are like, oh, I got this. I've been waiting for this my whole life. So they're like, okay, first person's like, how many people are here? Second person's like, is Eliza here with us?
Uh-huh.
Then we get to the hardcore, and he's like, you want to fight me?
I heard you like to fight. I will fight you here and now. Show me. They're like, don't provoke these spirits. And they're like, you want to come at me?
I heard you have mental illness. You want to fight me?
Did you die here? Who killed you? And I'm
oh my gosh.
And then you get to like us and I'm like, hey, like, friend.
We can't think of questions. This is really hard. We need to think of them before we go in because every time we're like, oh shit, what do we
maybe
say?
Maybe two questions that I ask every single time.
And everybody else asks the same
because
question.
Because they're the most obvious questions in the world.
I'm always here with you. Do you like having visitors?
So on this, at Beatty Mansion, we saw the coolest piece of equipment.
Right.
The SLS camera.
Started in the kitchen. Yeah. Yeah.
Which let's talk about that because that was so freaking cool.
It basically is the Kinect.
Like the Xbox Kinect.
Xbox Kinect, the equipment, and then they connect it to a smart
like a tablet. Yeah.
And then on a handle. That's basically what it is. A tablet.
We're not allowed to touch this.
And a tablet. And then we walk around and that's what they call the SLS. And what it does is it maps out in front. It will obviously map out the people, mm-hmm. the actual humans that are standing in front of you,
right.
But then it'll pick up on any other form of
like any anomalies.
It shoots out a bunch of green dots to do the mapping, and then the software that's connected to the Microsoft Microsoft's version of an iPad. Sorry, I'm a Mac person. that software
Surface?
Puts you as a stick figure. And so these stick figures, whether you are a human being or whether you are an entity, they come up on the screen.
Right.
And so the fun part is we went in the kitchen and then eventually down the hall, and we were looking for these stick figures that were not part of our group.
Right. And so they had people stand at the end of a hall. I think like three or four people, and you could clearly see them. The rest of us stood back behind the guy who was holding it so we could all see it. And you could clearly see like the four of them mapped out. And at one point there was like an anomaly and it's like kind of, it was dancing above like one guy's shoulder.
Yes.
And we were like, do you feel anything? And he's like, yeah, like I feel like something kind of cold over here. And was that outside room 17 or 23?
I think we're calling it 23.
Okay.
It's somewhere down at the very end of the hallway. I could be off on my room numbers, but I'm pretty sure it was in the 20s, 23, 25, something like that.
And you walked into that room and immediately got a feeling.
Yeah, 100%, because we walked down there initially when we were on the tour piece of it.
Right.
And we hung a left down towards the hallway, towards that room, and I immediately felt a sense of, I do not like whatever vibe is coming from this room particularly. I said it just really quietly to these two. And then as soon as I say that, the tour guide says, this room is known to have a presence in it, a dark presence that, you know, can be intimidating and aggressive.
Makes you feel unsettled.
Yes. Yeah. And so that's exactly where we were standing outside of when we were working with SLS. And I got to go stand in the group of three or four, and there was another stick figure
right by
if you will yes
right
that came
you.
Right by me.
But it was just something kind of cool that you felt that sense that he was there before
right.
we even knew there was anything there, and then the second you go and stand there, like, bam,
yeah,
he's like right there by you.
Yeah.
And it's nice to be able to see that equipment work in person, because it's something that they use on those paranormal shows that you see on TV,
right?
And you never think that you would, as an amateur,
right,
be able to see these things in person, and we were able to experience it. So it was a pretty cool part of the night.
Right. And it doesn't like pick up on just random things. I think mm-hmm. we should explain that too. When we say there was a figure standing next to it, this is like, you know, this has been going on for minutes, hours. You see nothing. And then all of a sudden you see something. Yeah. So it's not like you experience multiple of these anomalies overnight. And no, it just happens every once in a while. So
yeah. Right. And they'll show up for a couple seconds and then disappear again.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Because we were walking back down the hallway and then they happened to point it up on the ceiling and there was one on the ceiling.
It was on the ceiling fan. The ceiling fan was not moving, but the anomaly was like moving and spinning almost like the fan was. And I kept looking up at the fan like, it's not on. It's not on. And then looking at the screen, I'm like, like going back and forth. And that was the weird thing to me.
Yeah.
Like it was not staying still. It was moving so fast.
Mm-hmm. Anytime you have an entity on a ceiling, crawling is creepy. Oh gosh, yes. As fuck.
That's like stuff creepy in general.
You're right. On the ground, walls, ceiling, don't care.
It's creepy. I think of like The Grudge or The Exorcist where they're like crawling.
Absolutely.
Yes, that's where your mind goes.
Yes, which that was already my mind because it never fails. Without fail, my husband, every time we go ghost hunting, he sends me GIFs. GIFs, GIFs, whatever. It's I GIF. Don't care. No.
GIF is the peanut butter. GIF is the little pictures on your phone.
I don't know what
whatever it is.
Whatever it is,
he sends me. You guys know what I'm talking about. He sends me, like, the scary ones or whatever and saying, have you been touched by a demon yet?
Thank God they gave us a bathroom break after that. They gave us
a bathroom break right after that. And
well, right before the bathroom break, though, we were still kind of lingering in the hallway. And our tour guide for that section, he kept kind of glancing over and he's like, are you guys hearing that?
Yeah.
And he kept saying, like, there's nobody on this level.
Right.
Because, like we said, you know, somebody's on the third floor, somebody, or second floor, somebody's in the basement. Like, there's nobody here besides us. But he kept hearing doors. He kept hearing other things. And so everyone was trying to, you know, run after him like, oh, what's he going to go find?
And we're like, we're going to go pee. We'll be right back.
Right.
So, okay, we hustled. We made it. We were a little late. They had already kind of started, remember, up in the second floor. So we went up second floor next. We went up to the second floor. There's so many rooms, guys. We cannot investigate every single room in this house. There's just not enough time in the night.
I would love to.
It would have been cool. And the way they set it up was you could only go in the rooms that had the doors open.
Yes, and that was for per the owner. He said, any door that is closed, do not open.
Right. Yeah, so we followed
Which makes
that
you wonder, what's behind those doors?
Yeah.
We probably don't want to know.
But also, I think they kind of stage some of the rooms, mm-hmm. like, with clothes and beds and dressers and all these things to make it seem maybe a little bit more spooky. And it worked, mm-hmm. so good props to them.
It did.
So we went up to the second floor, and the first room that we went into was, I think, a child's room. We were kind of late, so I kind of missed out on the
history. This is the room where the child spirit on the second floor is heard yelling and laughing and running around. So they went to that room.
Gotcha. So we walked in, and they had some weird glowing orb things on the beds. Do you remember these?
Yes.
These look like balloons that had lights in the inside. I really have never seen anything like that. They kind of just look like nightlights. They were pretty cool. I wish I kind of had one, but I don't know.
Right.
I don't really know what the significance was because we missed out on that. We really didn't have a whole lot in that room other than we tried to do this EMF.
Not EMF. Was it the EVP or was it the EMF?
It was EMF.
EMF, you're right. Because those are set off by your phones.
That's right. We got the memo late on that. So here we come buzzing in. We're like, oh my God, look at all these ghosts.
Look at us go.
We're like,
look
at everybody, all these ghosts. Everybody else's light is green, which means nothing's around them. And ours is like going red like crazy. And I'm like,
Everybody's so jealous. They're like, oh my gosh. And they bring their meters over. And then somebody, probably one of the hardcores, are like, is your phone on airplane mode?
And we're like, I was like, no, is it supposed to be? Nobody told me that. They're like,
never mind, everybody, just ignore that.
And he was like, they're set off by your cell phone signal. And I was like, is this common knowledge? Like, don't look at me like that.
It is, but it is in that world.
So we put all of our phones on airplane mode, and as soon as we did, like, the light went green. We're like, never mind, guys.
Nothing.
No ghost.
Nothing. There wasn't. I really didn't get any weird feelings in that room.
I didn't feel anything there either.
No. And even the next room that we went to, they said was a woman's room that she didn't particularly care for men in that room.
Eliza.
Was it Eliza's room?
Eliza. Eliza's room. Yes.
Okay.
Because remember, she doesn't like men. She hangs out on the second floor.
I do remember that. I don't remember it being her room.
Yeah.
I must have blocked it out. I stood by the closet. That was a little weird because it was behind me and, you know, but I still didn't, other than that.
I didn't really feel anything until we went to, what is it, the headmistress office?
Administration office is what I think they referred to it as.
Before we got there, we went into this room. and a bunch of little dust particles and breathe in a bunch of maybe asbestos.
Oh my God, yes, I forgot about that room. I'm pretty sure there might have been a murder scene in that room.
I'm pretty sure there's murder scenes in a lot of these rooms. Oh my God.
Well, if it was staged, like, friggin' slow clap for them, that was incredible.
Right.
It looked horrific. It was like a four-post bed. It was brick walls on all walls. Do you remember?
Yeah, I was just thinking.
It was like bodily fluids all over the bed.
I just had a deadpan look because I was just thinking, I really have a problem with sitting on things because I remember sitting on that bed.
Yes. It had like.
You sat on the. You were the one who sat on that. We were like, don't touch it. You're going to die.
Because it had like body stains on it. Like, not like body stains, but it looked like some kind of bodily fluid stains on this nasty, dirty mattress. And Boise just goes and sits on the mattress, and me and Sarah are like, ugh.
I didn't notice.
How?
Okay. That's the first thing I noticed when I walked in that room.
I need a black light. Yeah, I was like,
let's burn this to the ground.
But to be fair, so Boyson's kind of role on these ghost tours is she will sit in it.
If it fits, I sit.
Truth.
If they say, oh, they really hate it when you sit on that, she just moves and sits, and they're like, oh, she's sitting in the chair.
Oh, she's doing it.
They don't like that.
And that brings us to the headmistress office.
The headmistress office. So this is a huge room.
Headmistress office, yes.
We call it that because it's like, yeah, I'm going to be politically correct. It's a headmistress, not a headmister.
Well, I think it was
headmaster.
It was called the administration office.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Fine. We'll be whatever. Gender
but
neutral.
We can refer to it as headmistress. I That's like that. Fine. I don't care. Although I'm not real sure there was ever a headmistress.
No, but it's like, if there's like an orphanage there, I mean, it makes sense that, you know.
Administrative office. Was
there? But it doesn't matter.
So
go
the
ahead.
History behind this room. So all of these rooms have really tall, huge ceilings. Like, right. Not like what you see in like today's, you know, houses. And they have these pipes, these huge pipes that run across the top of it. And so somebody had hung themselves from one of these pipes, which these rooms are like 10 feet high. I mean, it's totally plausible they could have.
Right.
And so there's this big desk there, and there's all these windows surrounding the room and all these chairs kind of like on the walls, on the outside. And then there's this one chair that's kind of next to the desk. And they're like, they don't like you to sit in that desk. Like, after they had told us about the woman who hung herself and all this stuff. And they're like, there's this chair. People report feeling things when they sit in it. They don't like you to sit in it. Legit, as the guy is talking and telling us this, Boydson just makes a beeline and goes and just sits in it.
I was sitting behind the desk as I was the headmistress. And once he said that, I was like, oh, this is my cue.
This is my cue. I'm going. And you sat there for what, 5 minutes?
I sat there. I mean, it felt longer, but it was probably 5 minutes. And the right side, my right hand and arm started feeling cold, tingly. And I got this really severe headache on the right side of my head.
That came on all of a sudden.
It was all of a sudden. I felt as if somebody might have been touching me. You know, I feel like I've been touched before at other places that we've explored, and it didn't necessarily feel the same, but it wasn't right. It was just this cold, tingly feeling that I didn't feel anywhere else in my body. So I definitely feel that, you know, something was there and did not like me in that chair and was trying to let me know, hey, get the F out of this chair.
And it was to the extent that, like, the ghost, the guy who was leading it, like, the tour guide, was still talking, and Boyson just sat up from the chair. She said, this chair's legit. I'm not feeling right. And got up, like, in the middle of it all.
Yeah. And I got up, and then that's when everybody else got excited. Like,
the hardcores.
The hardcores. I want to
enter hardcores.
So they all kept sitting there. I don't know if anybody else said that they felt anything.
They all moved in right away, and I think, you know, there wasn't anything there anymore because they were all making a big deal of it. And they were like sitting there with their arms out, eyes closed. And I'm like, okay, dude. And he's like, I don't feel anything.
I tried. I didn't feel anything. They didn't love
me. I didn't feel anything until we went back by ourselves, which we'll get to that part where we got to go off on our own. So that was just kind of like, I feel like a cool room and one where you actually got to experience something.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm so glad for you.
Thank you.
I'm so glad that you got a headache and felt horrible. But you know, it cleared up, like, right when you got out of the chair, right?
It absolutely did. Like, maybe within 20, 30 seconds, I felt completely back to normal. Where do we go after that?
Well, I think after that, well, we didn't go to the front part. which we'll get to on our own investigation. And we didn't do that until the very end.
In the basement, I think.
In the basement.
In the basement. And this is my favorite part, you guys.
This is Lindsay's jam. Lindsay made a friend.
I did. I love making friends.
So I went to this creepy basement.
Yes. The basement was cool, though, because you walked down and I keep saying footprint, but that's the best way to imagine it. Yeah. I think if you're not actually seeing it, the footprint was only half of the house. So it was only the east wing.
Blueprint.
Okay. Yeah.
I feel like footprints are like footprints, like in the same.
I was wondering where you were going with the footprints. I've
heard this before, though. Like, hit me up if you've heard this before. I did not just come up with that myself. Like, I probably thought it sounded cool, and I'm like, hey, the footprint.
I legit did not know where you were going until Boyson said blueprint. And I was like, oh, there we are.
Yeah. Okay, blueprint. There we go. That's, okay. That's probably translate. More official.
It's like my Gloria.
So close. We're very close. Anyways. The blueprint of the basement is only the east wing,
right.
Not east and west, minus the fact that you walk down, there's a couple of rooms underneath the east wing of the house, and then there is a hallway that kind of extends maybe towards the west wing,
right.
But doesn't actually completely go underneath. It just literally just extends to the front part of that west wing and has a small little underground room there.
Yeah.
So that is the blueprint.
Very
the basement.
And it's a very, very creepy basement, unfinished, cement walls, very cold down there too. So we go into this big room and we're still in the group with like 15 and the tour guide.
And our hardcores. They're there.
And then the hardcores are there. And they're there. We're at the point in the night, guys, where
they're about to shine. They're about to have their shining moment here.
This is the best part. They're starting to get on my nerves a little bit. They're already on Boydston's nerves.
I am over them.
And so we have a spirit box that's put in the middle of the room. And they have like this app that they're Bluetoothing with this giant speaker. For those of you who don't maybe watch all these paranormal shows and don't know what a spirit box is, it's like radio frequencies that are going so fast you can't pick up any words, and it's just
sweeping
like,
constantly.
Sweeping yeah. constantly. And this one was going in reverse. So it was like reverse words, which I've never heard it in reverse. And it was neither. Put it in like a broad like a bright room with a place that's not haunted, and it is the creepiest thing in the world.
It is honestly horrific. If you just listen to it right now, if we put it on there, just listening to the words sweeping backwards. Yes. It's terrifying.
It had four voices in particular. There was a child's voice, there was a man's voice, a female voice, and I feel like there was another voice, but I can't remember it.
I honestly thought there was only three.
Oh, maybe there was only three. So this is where Charlie is, guys.
No, it's not Charlie.
Oh my God.
Lindsay nicknamed him. So this is where George is.
George, hey.
And he's the male entity who does not like people.
In the basement.
Does not want to be provoked.
Basement, yeah.
And the first thing they said when we get to the basement, do not provoke him. So they're like, all right, everybody ask questions. We're going to go one in a row, ask questions, see if it picks up anything. And for some reason, we're like the last people in the circle. Like they started right beside us. So everybody asks all the good questions. And
always.
George is not saying anything to anybody.
Here I come. Do you like having visitors?
Me next. How many people are with us?
And so I'm like, crap, I have no questions for him. Everybody's asked all these questions. And so I remembered that he had a red bucket. And I said, hey, George, what color is your bucket, man? And like clear as day, red spits out.
Yep.
In this male's voice. And everybody was like, oh, it said red.
Everybody these are the hardcores. The hell out.
And uh-huh. I'm just like sitting there like, that was cool.
And then our guide singles Lindsay out and he's like, oh, you got a response. You need to talk to this guy.
So I said, hey, George, where are we at? Like, what state are we in? And it didn't say Missouri, but I feel like it did say St. Joe. Like, I heard it say St. Joe pretty clear. And so everybody, of course, starts freaking out again. And then he's like, let's ask some more questions. And so one of the hardcores,
mm-hmm.
bless his soul.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hey, George.
There we go. Here's a perfect example of a
hardcore. Did you have a mental illness? And I was like, rude. Oh,
that is one way to make Lindsay so mad.
Yeah.
That irked me so bad. And so I just went, rude, like really loud, and said again, George, hey, buddy, what color is your bucket again? And second time, spits out red.
Yeah.
So then everyone's going around still asking questions, and this dude, who does not leave my friend alone, is like, George, I hear you don't like people. You don't want to be provoked. Why are you so mean to people? I'm like, dude, back off, George.
Is it like, do you want to fight me? George, I heard you like to fight people.
I heard you like to put your hands on people. You don't put your hands on me? And I'm like, This dude is starting to annoy me. So it gets to me again. I go, hey, friend, what color is your bucket? And red spits out again, like, immediately, right away. And everyone's like, oh, three times a senator. I'm just, like, brushing the dirt off my shoulder. George and I are buddies.
Can't help it.
You gonna ask somebody if they have a mental illness? That's not nice. That's rude.
It's true, though.
Would that's you ask just somebody rude. That in real life?
No. No.
Lindsay would.
I mean, I would, but that's my job. Hey, got any mental... But I say it nicely. Hey, friend. Got any mental illnesses? No, I'm kidding. I don't say it like that at all.
Let's hope not. They'd be like, what?
But I'm not like, hey, do you have a mental illness? Like, dude, back off.
Hey, you? Hey, you crazy?
Yeah.
I heard you crazy, George. You in a red bucket.
George, you want...
You ever kill anybody, man?
So that was actually a pretty cool experience for me because, you know, I'm kind of the skeptic one out of the three of us, I feel
for
like.
For sure. Definitely.
And so for it to respond to me three times, really, with the same question, the same answer every time, and every other time you couldn't hear anything. Like,
yeah.
Every now and then you might get a no from it, from other people, but... No is a very easy word, I feel like, to be misinterpreted, especially with that. I mean, it's real quick.
Right? Yeah.
But red was clear as day. Everybody in the group heard it.
Yeah, we could hear it very clearly, and it happened three times.
And not all back to back, like several minutes apart.
Yes. I'm normally like a sensitive.
Right.
I love to get responses. I usually do. I asked questions. They were like, nah. But I will say, right before you asked a question, yeah. It was, I think after Boys Didn't Ask a Question, I even think I turned to you and I grabbed your arm. And now it was creepy. It was creepy as hell in this basement. But we had been down there for probably 30 minutes and I had nothing. But I turned to her and I grabbed her arm and I was like, ooh, I just felt a rush of something.
In that corner. We turned to that corner behind us. Yes.
And then Lindsay asked her question and then bam, there it was.
And I saw them out of the corner of my eye, both of them turn and look in the corner. And I kind of looked and didn't see anything, obviously. And so I was like, hey, George, what's the color of your bucket? And, like, immediately it was red. And so we didn't talk about this till afterwards.
Right.
I didn't know that you guys were sensing something at that same time that I was getting a response from him.
We kind of crept back. We took a little tripsy-doodle down to George's lair.
Yeah, so he has a workshop.
I didn't include that one.
So, like, you go down this long hallway, and there's all these, like, rooms that have the shoes that you kind of touched on earlier that are abandoned, and... There's been
just in the middle of the hallway.
Right.
There's a pile of
some
shoes.
Some creepy ass crawl spaces.
Yes, there's crawl
some pictures
spaces.
Pictures of burned dolls. Do you remember that? Yeah,
it's
that was
all
horrible.
Very creepy.
Right.
And so we get to, it's like this workshop, they call it, and that's where the bucket is for George. And so I was a little skeptic that we were even going to get anything because I was like, he was just all the way in this room over here. Like, now we're here, and the hardcores are all talking about touching the bucket, even though nobody did. They're like, George, I'm going to touch your bucket. George. And I'm like, stop provoking my friend.
You're annoying.
But I don't feel like we got really any responses back there at that time with the whole group.
No.
And I remember we were the ones right by the door, like for the entrance into the workshop. Yeah. And I kept looking down. It's this long hallway.
I did too because I didn't like the way it felt.
I hated that hallway.
I was like, I feel like if I'm going to see something tonight, it's going to be in this hallway because I just got this feeling of being unsettled.
I think it's because, like you said, there were so many just little pockets of outlets that anything could hide in
it's
there.
It's like stuff out of a horror movie.
It really was.
Yeah.
It was terrifying.
So yeah. Didn't catch like any evidence there, but I think we all had that same feeling of just, we should not be down here. This is not right.
Right.
Which I honestly think could be George. You know, he doesn't like people. And I think whole feeling of feeling unsettled was him being like, get out. Get away.
That's your body's way of reacting to him sending out the signal of, I don't want anybody down here.
Right. Leave. Yeah. And I cannot get out of that basement fast
You know,
enough.
Some people can hear him say, get out. Some people can sense it. Mm-hmm. And some people just sit there and say, can I touch your bucket?
And let's fight.
You want to come at me, bro?
I'm not mad. I'm not mad we didn't get a, hey, let's fight or get out from George.
No.
It was okay. I mean, I felt okay with the responses that we got. It was good.
Yeah.
It was good. So we left.
Yeah.
After that. Well, we left George's lair, we're going to call that. But that was bathroom break number four.
Ooh,
so
and
again.
Snack break.
Oh, yeah. Insert circus music.
Oatmeal
again.
Cream pie.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Here some fruit snacks. Because we are
break.
5 years old.
Veggie straws.
And then we regrouped. And then they said, basically, you can either leave or you can go off on your own right now.
We're like, go off on our own. Do you know us?
That's why we're here.
So we checked out some dowsing rods.
Yes.
Because I forgot we had to check out equipment, y'all.
The hardcores were really getting onto our nerves. So we were like, we need to go off on our own.
That's right.
So we did check. We checked out dowsing rods and
EMF. We had an EMF.
Mm-hmm. We had an EMF reader. So where was the first place we went when we were on
our own? We went to the kitchen. We went back to the kitchen revisit. We brought our dowsing rods and our EMF detectors. We were ready to find some ghosts, but let me tell you what, we found nothing in the kitchen by ourselves. We really didn't even get a weird feeling. We were just kind of like, it's kind of nothing.
We were asking questions.
And that's okay.
We didn't really get much.
Yeah. You're not going to feel something every time. And I think that that's just actually...
I think that's Hollywood.
That adds kind of, to the validity of your experience.
Exactly. Right? That's what I was going to say. You know, if you feel something every time, it almost takes away from the experience.
Exactly.
Because if you have... an experience one time and then you don't, it makes that one experience you had more special and more extreme. You want to remember that and think, oh my gosh, I actually felt something. I actually interacted with something that's not on the same plane or level that I'm on.
Sure. Right. And you see like on all these shows where they get all these experiences and evidence, you know, and I'm putting evidence in like quote words here, air quotes, but they might get like 2 or 3 EVPs and they're there for 12 days. Hours, if not multiple nights that they're there. And so they're compiling all of this of multiple days where into a 45-minute show, which 20 minutes of it is like the background and history.
Right, right. So we to kind of piggyback on that, we went back down to room 23 or 25. Again, I can't remember exactly
where
which one.
You first had that feeling of that negative, like, what is this?
Didn't like the vibe.
With the SLS camera. Yep.
But we went back down there and we went in the room this time, which was also, I think, even more terrifying to go into it the second time than the first because we were alone and it was completely pitch dark. But we really didn't have much in there either. And I think we were all in there going, we really don't feel much.
Right.
And again, it's just to validate that, like, you're not going to have experiences every single time you go into these rooms. So we went back to the administration room. We sat into the chair, or Lindsay took her turn into the chair.
I did, guys. I was brave. I was like, even knowing what Boydson had experienced, like we said last, you know, the first time that we went on a ghost hunting place, I wasn't really like, I don't want to be touched. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to be brave. After I met with my friend George, I was like, maybe feeling some stuff. So I sat in it and, you know, we were all talking to it. And at one point I did feel like my right hand, which yours was your right hand too, was feeling colder and kind of like starting to get tingly from the cold.
Yeah.
Kind of like that feeling like when you're outside and, you know, you just start to lose feeling there. And not my left hand. And both hands were sitting out. We've been here for several hours. It could just be the cold. Kind of like what you guys said. I rationalized it. Looking back now, I don't really know what to make of it. But I did feel something on my right side. For sure. I didn't get the headaches or anything like you did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That we went back also to the basement.
Yes. Because I wanted to talk to George on my own.
Yeah. We did. We went down there. We checked it out. We really didn't have a whole lot there either.
Which we didn't have the spirit box down there.
True.
But we just kind of walked around and you guys weren't getting a feeling or a sense of anything. Uh-uh. And I was not getting that sense of feeling unwelcome like we were before.
Right.
Right.
Like just that general creepiness.
I still didn't like it.
Right. No.
Yeah. It's still creepy. Unsettling for sure.
But
and,
not to that extent.
You know, there were times where I wanted to get out of there, but it wasn't as extreme as the first time we were down there.
Right. I agree. Yeah. I agree completely.
And I think a huge part of that is those people, the hardcores, were really antagonizing him.
Yeah.
A different group came up to us and approached us and said, hey, we were just up in a room upstairs. They told us that they had had this like totally mind-blowing experience upstairs in the owner's room. They were like, hey, we were just sitting up there and asked them to turn on the lights and they did it on command. Like, you guys need to go up there and visit this room. We're like,
So we had heard about this room kind of along the way because our guide kind of made kind of a side comment like, yeah, there's some weird stuff in there. And you know, I don't know. We just weren't really going to go there.
Right.
That wasn't on our list of things to do. But once they said that, we're like, all right, well.
Now we have to.
Here we go. Let's
just
trek
to
up
show
the stairs.
Them off. Yeah.
And so we go up there. And this is where Lindsay accuses me of.
Yes.
Tampering with the evidence.
So let's start off with our first impression of this owner's room. Perfect. So the lights are on when we get right there. They're the only lights on in the whole second floor.
Yes.
Which begs the question. There was electricity.
There was, and they lied to us.
Liars.
I mean,
it wait, we already knew that factor. Though because the parlor was on.
Yeah, that's you're true. Right.
Okay, so all those times we said there was no electricity, it was only in parts of the house.
The basement didn't have electricity.
The basement didn't, I don't think, but they might have had a light. Honestly, I think there was electricity
maybe they
in the house, but there was definitely no running water.
Okay, doesn't so matter. We get to the room, and it's got a bed in it, which a lot of the rooms had beds in it. It's got, like, this TV in it and some clothes in the closet and shoes and stuff, so it looks lived in. But there's all these cracks on the walls, kind of like what you would see in a crack in foundation, with masking tape. Legit masking tape, not even duct tape.
Right.
Holding it together, and they are just all over the walls, like masking tape galore on the walls, the ceiling. It was a very creepy room.
It just felt really awkward in
there. Was like a shattered egg that had been tried to masking tape back together. I don't even know how else to put it. It was in 10,000 pieces.
So we still had the dowsing rods and the EMF. So we are just kind of looking around, and I mean, we're talking and trying to talk and get a response. Nothing's happening on the EMF reader whatsoever. We're getting some response on the dowsing rods, though, I feel like, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, hey, I heard that you guys turned the lights on for these other people, but I don't really believe it. Basically calling them out because I still don't believe to this day that they turn off the lights on them. So a little background before I say this little piece, and we're going to show the clip for you guys too, but when we very, very first got there, Boydston had to pee. We talked about this. But her stomach was also growling.
True.
Loud enough that we could all hear it.
I was hungry. It was not the other. It was not the cholera.
So to the point where we were calling her out.
We were like, Boydston, can you keep it together? And she's like, sorry, guys. Sorry. Mm-hmm. And so when they were doing some EVP recording, he said, you know, if you cough, if you hear stomach growl, something like that, just say it. So that way you know when you're listening back, it's not something else.
You can debunk it.
Right. To debunk it.
That's what we like to say.
So
this is after snacks. So I'm good.
She had not everything had the stomach growl since the beginning.
We've not heard a stomach growl since.
So we're all in the room and I have my phone out recording with the EMF reader. You have the dowsing rods, Boydston. And I said, do you want us to leave? And we got no response on the dowsing rods. So I said, okay, we'll stay. I can't remember the question I asked. We'll hear it on the audio. But I asked it a question. And immediately after I asked it, I heard a growl, clear as day.
It was something about the EMF. Can you make these lights turn?
Yes. Can you make it? Yeah. Can you make my light go red? Mm-hmm. I heard a stomach growl, or heard a growl, I should say, clear as day, coming from where Boydston was standing. And I just immediately said that was a stomach growl.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarah, you said the same thing, like at the same time. We both automatically said it.
Oh my God. I hate my own voice so much. I hear my voice and I say, it was a stomach growl. Oh, God. You ever hear yourself and you're like, can I just...
I mean, yes, we're going to be
hearing... Can I just shut up
for a second? We're going to be hearing ourselves a lot.
Thank God.
That was not great for a podcast if we hate our voices.
It's true, though.
So, I know.
It was rough. Spoiler alert, it was not a stomach growl.
No. So right after we said that, Boydston goes, is it? I didn't feel anything.
And we're like, wait,
the idiot that I am, aka an amateur, I said, hold on. And I stopped recording on my phone and I looked at Boydston and I said, are you shitting me right now? Because it freaked me out so bad because I heard it clear as day.
Oh, we all did. We all heard it.
Yes. And I thought she was just like joking or whatever for, I don't know, the video or something. And she was like, guys, my stomach really did not growl, but it came from right where you were standing.
But that comes back to the rationalizing terrifying. All evidence. We say it was totally stomach growl in the moment because you tried to make yourself okay with what's going on.
Like, no, this is fine. It's just stomach. It's cool.
Exactly.
We're fine. Exactly. No demons are here. It's fine.
Yes.
No demons.
And so that was really creepy. And I think I would have been more freaked out if the lights were off, but the lights were on and that's like, that was almost more unsettling that the lights were on in this room and we were still hearing this like growl.
It's almost like back when you're a kid and the lights are off, it's like, you know, you're fair game. But when the lights come on, you're safe.
You're supposed to be safe.
And yes.
So
we went to the room across the hall that was dark.
Right.
And you started feeling something when we walked in there.
Yes, I did. But I wasn't the one who had the most experience.
Should we play the audio clip first before we go into this? So what we're going to do is we're going to play a clip of the growl before we go into the last room that we went to. And you're going to hear me asking it if it can turn my EMF reader green. Or no, it is green. If it can turn it red. And then you hopefully will be able to pick up on the growl. Like I said, guys, this is taken on an iPhone. This is not any fancy equipment. So hopefully you can hear it.
Let's see this cool little thing I have in my hand. Can you make it go yellow? Make it go red? Was the stomach growl, not a demon growl?
Was it your stomach? Is that mine?
Was it yours? It wasn't mine.
There we go. We're trying to rationalize it.
I didn't feel anything.
I did a growl. I did too. Hold on.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So right after that, hold on, is when I looked at her and I was like, are you for real? Is this happening? So anyways, after we left that room, we went to a room across the hall that was dark, meaning just like lights off like the rest of the house. Didn't really get anything there, but you were getting some stuff with your dowsing rods, I feel like, Boydston, right?
I was. We got a few yes or no questions, and then it was set up just like regular old-timey in a bed, and we were asking some questions. Chair. There was a wicker rocking chair.
Thank you. You get to try the hard words.
Wicker rocking chair. Hey,
collar it. Ah, dang it, I can't say it anymore.
I was in the wicker rocking chair.
But P.S., can we... There was nothing history-wise on this room at all. They didn't even talk about it.
No, there was nothing. However, it was very cold, and I felt like it was colder than the other rooms that I had been in. And I don't feel like you agree, but I don't feel like you felt anything.
I did not feel anything. I felt hardly anything
felt
on this one.
I felt super cold in that room, but I think I justified that or rationalized it in my head as we've been here for 7 hours almost. I am freezing.
Like, it was cold. I think I was just time. So cold. But I didn't feel, I didn't necessarily feel colder by any means, but Boydston did.
I was warm and fine most of the night. And we got in this room, especially when I was sitting in the wicker rocking chair. And I was just so cold. Yeah. And so this is where my maybe experience, maybe not experience comes in. And where I have to call myself out.
Otherwise, we'll do it for her.
Otherwise, they will do it for me. So I didn't feel anything besides the coldness. And then we ended the night. I was mad. Well, I wasn't mad, but I was like, yo, guys, let's go explore more of the space. And they were done. We still had, I think, an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours left of the open.
No, that was maybe 1 hour.
We were the last ones, too.
That's true.
But still, we still had so much time. And
it was
colder
than hail.
I want to catch some more. I want to do some ghost hunting, man. And they weren't into it. So I was like, okay, well, let's just go. And
we've been there, too, for like 8 hours. It's not like we had just showed up an hour.
That is what I'm into.
Well, samesies, but...
But we went downstairs and talked with the tour guides for a good 20 minutes.
Right.
Told them, hey, we're starting a podcast. Listen to us.
So we left. We went to the gas station for our last bathroom break of the night. And this is going to get into our TMI area, so sorry. But it turns out that I'm going to say I was possessed. Because... I apparently peed my pants. So whenever, this is the TMI part, whenever I pulled down my pants, I was wearing gray sweatpants that night, like light gray. So you can see all sorts of fluid whenever you're in light gray. And
it just gets funnier every time.
Lindsay and I were both in like neighboring stalls, and she was peeing and I was peeing. I pulled down my pants. I was like, oh, something happened. And I said it out loud, and
she
I
didn't know what she meant, and there was another woman in
there. There was some random woman in there, and I just started laughing to myself, and I was like, you guys. And so I came out of the bathroom. I did like a spread eagle for everybody. I lifted my leg in the air, and there was this giant wet spot on my pants. I peed my pants, you guys.
Did I like do like a little tickle? So like Sarah and I have had kids. Like, you have a little tickle. tickle sometimes because the Kegels aren't as strong. This was like a giant, like, you peed.
I've also never had kids.
No, oh, but you shit, like, it was a big pee.
It was a big pee, and I never felt it.
She didn't know.
Like, I was standing in the kitchen dining area dying. I was swaying back and forth. I was like, I'm going
to
make it.
Had
and
to,
I
had
made
to go
it.
Then. Yeah,
you I nailed made it then. To the bathroom. And this time I felt nothing.
She had to pee.
And I peed my pants.
And she blames it on the ghost.
I swear, I was possessed and I peed my pants.
And didn't know it for 30 minutes. Because that we talked about it for part. A good 20
we
minutes.
We went back down and had full-on conversations with other human
Nobody
beings.
Told me that I smelled like urine.
I didn't know.
I didn't see the stain. We didn't know. And then when you just are in the bathroom stall going, something happened. We're like, what?
And then you come out and you're crying. And you're laughing so hard.
I was
crying.
Legit crying, guys, in the bathroom. I couldn't. That poor random lady in the bathroom stall was probably like, what is happening?
She could not figure out how to get the water going. So pretty sure
she was on
care.
Our level.
So that's how we she ended the ghost hunting expedition was with Boydston completely peeing her pants.
If anybody has ever peed their pants due to a ghost, please reach out and let me know.
A ghost took control of your bladder.
I really pissing. Need somebody to tell me that this has happened before.
Possession pissing.
Possession pissing.
Please, hashtag possession pissing. Has this happened? Please
tell me.
Tell
me it's a thing.
Please send us an email if anything like this has ever happened to you guys. Because we're just making fun of her and telling her she peed her pants, but she thinks this was a ghost.
But you guys saw me.
It might have been. It might have been. But
you
honestly,
guys saw me when I was doing the potty dance in the kitchen.
You're right. You're right. But it's still it fucking
funny.
Hilarious.
You guys are moms. You guys have seen the potty dance. I was not doing it.
No. And yeah.
You were fully relaxed in that rocking chair.
And
I was too relaxed.
And she wanted to stay. And we were the ones who wanted to go.
We were like, we gotta get the fuck out. So we're tired. And
she legit
like,
did not know that she had peed her pants and was walking around in pee for 20 to 30 minutes.
No idea.
Greatest story of all time.
No, the funniest part is that you had to drive me in your car.
It's leather. Why do you think I got leather, girl? You just wipe that shit right off. I got kids.
Literally wipe that right
That's
off.
That's exactly right. I have no problems with that. That's incredible. That is a true story of possession.
Possession, pissing. Oh, man. So that's our story of the Beady Beady Mansion.
Yeah.
The Beady Beady Mansion.
Thanks for listening to us, guys. You can find us on Facebook at The Tipsy Ghost or on Instagram at The Tipsy Ghost. Or definitely email us at thetipsyghost@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.